The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
G&D, welcoming you back on The Fan. The show is brought to you by our exclusive sponsor, the law firm, Condori and Murrah. They will help you update your last will and testament, set up a revocable trust for you and your family as well. Schedule a free consultation with our estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. In about 25 minutes, we're going to look at the road ahead for Washington. Also got to dive in this hour to Jaden Daniels' performance against the Steelers. Probably good enough to win with a little help from his receivers, but certainly not at the level that we have come to expect all season long, as he was held off the stat sheet as a rusher almost entirely. But let's get to Jay Gruden.
On air and on the road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Chantilly Lincoln and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Tedbert for life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
Jay, broad brush here. What'd you think of yesterday, 1-point loss to the Steelers at home?
Well, you know, obviously it came down to the wire. There's some good things. I was impressed with the physicality of the defense, holding the running game for Pittsburgh to like 3 yards a carry. Najee Harris had 21 for like 45 or 50 yards. I thought that was pretty impressive. Big plays obviously hurt in the end. You know, the one to Pickens, obviously to Mike Williams. But overall, I think it was a good slugfest, and it just came right down to an inch, just an inch, and the game would have been different. But I thought it was a good, hard-fought game.
To me, the mistakes are the thing that I'm going to remember. I mean, they overcame so much. Injuries to the offensive line, Jay, and having to substitute kickers again. A lot of things could have gone south that didn't. That's what makes it all the much more difficult to take for me, that it was drop passes. It was that, you know, the jumping off sides when we're not sure if Pittsburgh was going to run a play or not. That's what kind of makes it sting more. How do you view it as a coach?
Yeah, those are the ones that stand out. You drop a punt, jump off sides on fourth and one. Those are things, you know, obviously you can't do in competitive situations, especially, you know, coming down a stretch when you got Philadelphia twice and Dallas twice and all the rest of the teams. You got to hone that up a little bit. And that just comes with experience. You know, Newman's played pretty well as just a young player. You know, I would like to have Wagner screaming at him, don't jump, don't jump. But he jumped. But overall, I think you have to be impressed with the way they played. You mentioned the two tackles. I mean, that's a big deal against Pittsburgh now. Having a rookie tackle, I mean, and then Trent Scott playing the other tackle, that's a big deal. But I think they battled, they competed, and took them down to the wire. I know there's no moral victories, but if there is one, that would be one.
To that point, just 3 sacks and 11 dropbacks under pressure for Jaden Daniels when you're going up against Watt, Highsmith, Hayward, that front. They were without Tyler Biadasz, their center, for a drive. They were without their two top right tackles going head-to-head with Watt with a third string tackle in Trent Scott. I mean, obviously, a lot of that is scheme and how they helped out. I guess two-parter here. Number one, what did they do to keep Watt from wrecking the game that worked? And then number two, what did you think of the execution of their plan?
Yeah, I think they did a good job of mixing in their protections and not, you know, having Jaden go back there and wait, you know, 4 or 5 seconds for guys to get open, although they tried a couple, didn't work out too well. But I think their plan was pretty good intact. You know, I think they missed Brian Robinson a lot, the toughness between the tackles, and obviously the tackles provide a lot of that power and push in the running game as well. So obviously the drop passes. I just wish they had another guy that could separate just a little bit better other than Terry. You know, Terry had a couple of big hits, but other than that, I just feel like Pittsburgh's defense was clubbed on the receivers pretty good, which really made it hard for Jaden to get the ball, you know, to find some open spots for him to deliver the ball. And I think he had to force a couple and miss a couple throws. But yeah, I think moving forward, if the team's going to play really tight man-to-man, I think we need another guy. Maybe we're not going to get another guy, but somebody else has to figure out ways to separate a little bit better.
I want to ask you about that. Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. That was my feeling a couple times. It hasn't reared its head most weeks, Jay, as they're beating the brakes off of Carolina and they're better than the Giants or Cleveland or Arizona when they played them, et cetera. But against good teams, the kind of games that they're going to be in a position to be in now, right? Whether it's for the division or a playoff game or things like that, against some of the good teams, there have been a couple times where I feel like, man, they could use one more playmaker opposite Terry McLaurin. Is that solution internal, do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I thought the same thing before the season, but guys kept stepping up, whether it was Noah or Deami or whoever it is, McCaffrey or, you know, Eckler out of the backfield. You know, they did a great job of really being multidimensional as far as their running game and the zone reads and the quarterback design runs, and they were able to pick apart some zones and find some holes. But when it comes crunch time and it's man-to-man and it's a five-man rush and somebody's got to separate, that's where I think they had trouble against Pittsburgh, at least, for whatever reason. But moving forward, I think they're going to have to answer that because people watch a film. And Darius Slay's watching the film. And Quinyon Johnson, the corner from Philadelphia, they're watching the tape. And they're going to see some loaded boxes again to try to stop Jaden from running. And obviously, if B-Rob comes back and Eckler stops the running game and force him to throw it and see if they can get open.
Drops have not really been an issue for this team. They had 6 or 7 balls yesterday that if the receiver makes a play, helps out the quarterback, balls in or around their hands, you know, they can go make a catch. Statistically, PFF assigned 3 drops. I think it depends on the site, but you know, it felt like a few more than that. I guess my question is, you've had games, everyone has those as a coach, where there's several drops. Is there something that leads to that? Is there anything you do or say about it, or is it just on to the next, hasn't been a problem, won't be a problem kind of deal?
Yeah, it's just out of the next is all you can do. I mean, it can go out there and work on the jugs machine every day. I'm sure these guys practice their ass off and not dropping the football, just critical situations and big games. You know, hopefully it doesn't happen again. It's a learning experience for everybody. You know, they have a young football team, a young quarterback, some other young players on defense. So, you know, this is a great experience for them in order to recover and learn from their mistakes and move forward. And hopefully the next moment won't be too big for them. They'll be able to perform at a higher level and protect the football because they've done such a good job of it over the first, you know, 9 games as far as only 3 turnovers, very limited drops, very limited mental mistakes. They played extremely well. They just had a couple that reared its ugly head. Usually they do when you lose. You know, if Ertz gets that first down and they kick a field goal, we're probably talking about other things.
What did you think of Jaden Daniels yesterday?
You know, I still think he's a little bit limited as far as I think Cliff's doing a good job of protecting him, making sure that they got it for the season. And I think he's still a little inhibited by the rib injury a little bit. You know, I see him on the sidelines. I see him wincing a little bit. I think that affects the play calling. They're not calling as many of the cool zone reads and the counters with the quarterback able to pull it and people coming around and some of that things. They call it a quarterback draw on one play, and I think they had one other zone read where he just kind of went to the ground. So I think his use of his legs is limited right now, which affects their running game in general. But overall, I think Jaden still played pretty good. I thought he had great poise. He got hit hard a couple times and stood in the pocket and still saw the field and made some big-time throws. So I think you know, for him, it was an average football game, but average for a lot of people, it's still pretty good.
Jay Gruden with us here on G&D. So, Zach Ertz has had an unbelievable career, a lot of it against Washington, frankly. He's still a useful player, still helps them, but the drops are now starting to kind of compile. You can sort of see there's not much after the catch. He's among the you know, the fewest in the league in terms of yards after the catch at this point. You don't expect the tight end to be leading the league, but even still, with that as the threshold, it's still pretty low. How would you kind of approach using him? Again, still deserves some looks, but Ben Sinnott's wait there in the wings, and you saw him in the preseason. I don't know how equal that is, but I'd be intrigued to give that guy a few more looks and some targets and have his responsibility grow.
Yeah, I don't know how much Ben knows the offense. I mean, the thing about Zach is his experience, his ability to line up and understand zone coverage and man coverage and find open spots. And obviously in a running game, he's still pretty effective. Obviously, Ben's growing to be that type of guy. I don't know if he's there mentally yet. Physically, he's obviously there, but that's something that the coach would probably understand. But I still like Zach's veteran presence out there for a young football team to have a guy like him out there. kind of calming everybody down and doing the right thing, being in the right place at the right time, I think is important for Jaden to know that he's always got him where he's supposed to be. And I'm sure Ben will grow to be that guy, but I think right now Zach is still an effective tight end.
The Steelers held Jaden Daniels to 3 rushing attempts for 5 yards. He had carries of 4, 1, and 0, and he didn't have any scrambles and no scramble yards. He's leading the league in both of those two categories this year. Some of that was they spied him on some downs with Patrick Queen, who I thought was a monster. I thought he did some really good things. And not everyone has that guy, but is there anything to a quote-unquote blueprint or this idea that, you know, they pretty much kept him in the pocket and made life harder on this offense?
Yeah, I think there is a little bit, but I think teams have tried to do that. Pittsburgh did not just reinvent how to play Jaden Daniels. There's been a lot of teams that have tried to spy him and not been as effective. You know, the thing is, when you spy a quarterback and you're still rushing 4, you lose that whole defender, which helps the underneath coverage. You know, you don't have that free player there lurking to cover, take away slants and shallow crosses and things of that nature. So it's a dangerous thing to play in coverage. It helps spying quarterback, but there are other issues involved in it. And I think that moving forward, if teams try to do that, I think the passing game will open up even more. And then if they don't do that, then obviously Jaden's ability to scramble will open up. But Pittsburgh played some fire zone, some 3D fire zone, some man-to-man, some tight man-to-man with a spy. So they did a good job mixing up. The key is when you do play man-to-man with a spy, somebody's got to get the hell open and quickly. And that's what Pittsburgh was banking on. They were playing tight coverages, forcing the receivers to run longer routes to get open. And by the time they would get open, Jaden had to scramble a run because of, you know, TJ and the rest of the guys, Hayward and those other guys.
Jay, quick turnaround here for Thursday. There are two really good opponents back-to-back for Washington, combined 14-4 record now. You know, how do you turn the page, number one, and kind of what did you do as a coach to sort of deal with that short week, especially after a hard-hitting game like that where it was pretty damn physical, and now they got to go up against another really good team on the road?
Yeah, really physical. Guys are starting to feel it. They need a bye week. They need this Thursday game, and after the Thursday game, they'll get some rest, and it's going to be very important for them to get back healthy. This is a tough stretch for these guys not to have a bye week or any rest, and now have a short week on top to play the division leader in Philadelphia. It's going to be tough, but you got to force them. Hey, man, we got to have some time off. We need your total effort and focus. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we'll play Thursday. I promise you I'll give you all Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, but until that time, let's get after it. Let's get the division lead back in our favor because it's all at stake on Thursday night. It's going to be a hell of a game.
Alamide Zaccheaus put the ball on the ground twice as a punt returner, and Dan Quinn stuck with him. What was your thought on continuing to have him field punts the rest of the game? Would you have made a change there?
To who? I don't know who. That's the whole thing. Not many people can return punts. It's not as easy as you make it look. You know, if Jameson Crowder was on the roster, I'd say, hell yeah, put Jameson back there. But if he's not, I don't know if Luke McCaffrey can do it. Or I know Terry McLaurin, I wouldn't put him back there. You know, so I don't know who else would go back there. That's the issue. So.
What about just putting like Luke back there and saying you can fair catch it?
Fair catch it? I wouldn't give up on him quite yet. He had the ball hit him in the face mask. And yeah, I mean, they're around him more than I am, but it can't happen anymore. If it happens again, they got to make a change. You know, very similar. I think when Rivera stuck with a long snapper for like a year and a half.
The cheese man.
Dribbled him back. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, you're only allowed so many mistakes at that critical position. That is a critical position moving forward because special teams, as you watched Sunday, plays a critical role in these close games, a blocked field goal, a drop punt, a muff punt, whatever it might be. So he's got to make sure he concentrates and takes care of the ball. He's got one more strike, and he's going to be out.
I don't remember. I'd imagine, though, you had to have gone up against Dante Fowler some as a coach in this league. And I don't know if he would have been in Jacksonville when you were there or – you know, when you were working for the Rams a little bit, if he was there, if you guys crossed paths at all. But what a year this guy's having. He's got 8.5 sacks. He's got 4 in the last 2 games. He's got a sack in 5 of the last 6, I believe. And he's on pace for 14, which would be the most by anybody in a Washington defense since 1986, before I was born. And he's doing this as kind of a guy that they didn't pay much money to.
Yeah, Dante's always been talented. He went to Florida. He was a top draft pick. I remember doing him, grading him. He was a hell of a player. He just had some issues. Some issues that undisciplinary type issues that he was not to be counted on, jump off sides in critical situations, you know, hit the quarterback in the head unnecessarily from time to time. But he's reeled all that in, and Dan Quinn's done a great job with him, and a defensive line coach. And he's always been talented, man. He's got good burst. He's got good power. Yeah, you know, it's just sometimes these guys just need to be cut a couple times or rejected a couple times to say, hey, the light will click on and they'll play well. He's doing that right now.
Jay, one more for Washington before we open up the rest of the league. Offensively, in a game like that, who's somebody you try to target more, right? Because it's Terry. We know that. That's the one seed in the passing game. Then everybody gets a little sprinkle. I guess the 7 and 8 targets for Brown and Ertz, respectively. But is there someone you said, you know what, maybe this guy could maybe try to give me a burst or make a play for me here to help kind of unlock some things?
Yeah, I would have tried to do a little bit more with Austin. Eckler, I think out of the backfield, his matchup, whoever it's against, I still think he can beat any linebacker Pittsburgh has. I know Queen has some speed, but he'd be matched up on some other people. I like easy routes for running backs to get out in space and break some tackles. You know, I don't have to wait for guys to run 25-yard dig routes to try to get open. You know, I would try to get the shorter type passes. Zach doesn't have that short area quickness separation anymore, but he's a guy you can target in zone coverage. But man coverage, I'd work Eckler a little bit more. And, you know, I don't know, Luke McCaffrey, I don't know if he's fast enough to do any of this stuff, but Noah Brown's at least got some size. I'd probably work Noah Brown second and then Eckler third.
How about let's go around the NFL, the matchup of the number one and the number three pick at quarterback, Drake May and New England getting the better of Caleb Williams and the Bears. Yesterday, Chicago's a disaster. I'd have fired Eberflus. I wouldn't have kept Eberflus this offseason, but they did. And so he still has a job. They're probably going to move on. I think you coached with Shane Waldron. He was on your staff here, right?
Yeah, he was. He's a branch. They're struggling, man. They're bad.
They are bad.
I watched their tape today. He got sacked 9 times, and I think 7 of them. I don't think any receiver is ready for the ball yet. The poor kid is just getting oblivious. They're calling plays. Guys are running down the field with their backs to him, trying to get open on deep crossers, and he's just getting bludgeoned. And I feel bad for the kid. You know, it's not very fair to him. And Keenan Allen looks like he's lost a step to me. DJ Moore doesn't look like he has any interest. Roman Dunze is trying to find his way. Everybody says they're so talented at wide receiver, but they're not playing like it. They're not getting any immediate separation. Shane's not doing a very good job with his formations and getting people open either, and it's tough on Caleb.
What about May yesterday?
May's just a tough, gritty guy. Man, this is the way he's going to play his whole career. He's, you know, until he really light clicks on, he understands defense, how to read them, how to anticipate throws. But as far as his ability to keep plays alive and just be a tough son of a gun in the pocket, I mean, he's a fun guy to watch. He's not going to win any beauty pageants, but he's going to, you know, get your guys 18, 20 points. You better play good defense. You're going to have a couple key rushing first downs, maybe a rushing touchdown, run a guy over. He's a tough son of a gun. I like him.
Jay, I can't remember a time where I saw somebody with a stat line of 15 out of 30 with 5 interceptions and a win. What happened last night with Detroit and Houston, I still kind of can't quite figure out what I saw.
Yeah, that was crazy. He had a couple unfortunate picks. So one was tipped and intercepted. One was a Hail Mary at the end of the half. That doesn't count. So he really only had 3.
Still not great?
That's a lot. Still not very good, but that's what you got to love about the Detroit Lions. They're resilient. They just keep on coming. And Jared Goff has been there and done that, and he does not let one play affect the next play. That's what you have to be as a quarterback. You can't let one interception affect your next throw. You can't let you get hit in the head, getting hurt, getting hit blindsided, thinking you're going to hit blindsided the next play. You got to let it all go and just live to fight another day. And he's as good as any quarterback in the league right now. And I know he threw 5 picks, but to bounce back and just be relentless and continue to fire, I mean, that's not easy to do. And he can do it. And the Lions are tough. I love the Lions.
Jay, the Cowboys are horrific. Washington still gets to play them twice. It reminds me, they're playing them in the final week of the year, like that week 18 when you guys went down there and took Kirk out after one quarter going into the playoffs and Colt McCoy lit up. I think Kellen Moore led Dallas. They're going to play 2 backup quarterbacks, which is going to be nice with the Cowboys in those 2 games. Should be 2 wins. They got the Titans, the Saints. I mean, basically, it's 2 games against the Eagles and the Falcons and then a bunch of very winnable games for Washington left. But how about how bad things have gotten in Dallas?
You use horrific and a disaster for a couple teams. Awesome. But, yeah, they're bad. They really don't do anything good on offense. They can't throw. They can't run. They have no running game. Zeke Elliott comes in. He looks like he's 240 pounds. He looks like he's a 40-year-old man running the ball. It's bad. And then defensively, they got some young, talented players on defense. You know, they really do. This Overshawn guy is a hell of a player. And they got Micah Parsons. He's coming back. So they got some guys that can be a little bit effective on defense. They get worn down because they're not very big. You know, they can play tough early. Then third, fourth quarter comes on. They just get bludgeoned, and they're just exhausted because the offense is pitiful.
Jay, I know it's early in the week to think about next week, but they play on Thursday. Give us your thoughts and a prediction on Washington-Philadelphia Thursday night.
Oh, I got to check the injury report, man. I got to have our tackles back. What's it looking like?
So I asked Quinn after the game yesterday if Wiley not playing was in any way about kind of the division game coming up Thursday and a first place game. And he said, no, if he could have gone, he would have gone. Sounds like Robinson has turned the corner, they said. So they're hoping that they'll have him. But I don't know that the tackle situation is changing much. We don't know yet.
Well, a good thing is Philadelphia doesn't have great edge rushers anyway. You know, Sweat's okay, and they got the Bryce Huff guy. He's not having the year they thought he would have, so I think we can hold up. Just got to get the running game going a little bit, and hopefully Jaden feels better so he get a little bit more active running the football. Not crazy, not like 20 times a game, but like 8 effective good runs a game I think would be great for Jaden. If he could do that, I think Washington can do it. But if he's still limited and he can't really use his legs and we got a couple young tackles in there, then it's going to be a tough day.
Jay, always great having you on the show, buddy. Thanks so much for the time and the insight.
You got it. Thank you, guys.
There's our guy, Jay Gruden, former head coach here in D.C.
On Air and On the Road, Jay Gruden is driven by the Tedbert Automotive Group, Tedbert Ford and Chantilly in Fairfax, your F-150 headquarters, Tedbert Chantilly Lincoln, and Tedbert Chevrolet in Sterling, home of Tedbert for Life, lifetime vehicle coverage. See and shop them all at Tedbert.com.
How did we think Jaden Daniels played yesterday? Do we agree with Jay Gruden that the ribs are bothering Daniels a bit? That's next on G&D.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
For the past 3 seasons of Gone South, we've covered 1 story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a 4th season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You know, I still think he's a little bit limited in far as I think Cliff's doing a good job of protecting him, making sure that they got it for the season. And I think he's still a little inhibited by the rib injury a little bit. You know, I see him on the sidelines. I see him wincing a little bit. I think that affects the play calling. They're not calling as many of the cool zone reads and the counters with the quarterback able to pull it and people coming around and some of that things. They call it a quarterback draw on one play, and I think they had one other zone read where he just kind of went to the ground. So I think his use of his legs is limited right now, which affects their running game in general. But overall, I think Jaden still played pretty good. I thought he had great poise. He got hit hard a couple times, stood in the pocket, and still saw the field and made some big-time throws.
That was Jay Gruden, as heard just a bit ago, right here on Grant and Danny on The Fan. We'll take you up to 6:30 tonight. Don't Forget About comes your way in a half hour as we try to put a bow on a 1-point loss to the Steelers. We will not have nearly as much time for the autopsy this week as we normally do. We are on to Philadelphia tomorrow. We're literally going to be in Philadelphia soon thereafter. Mm-hmm. We're going there for the game as a show on Thursday Night Football. Should be a very, very entertaining matchup with first place in the division at stake. You just heard Toby talking about the injury report. Jaden Daniels is not on the injury report. Jay Gruden saying, I think there's still something bothering him as far as that rib goes. We'll get into that in a second. Marshawn Lattimore would not have practiced. Seibert would not have practiced. But they were able to list Wiley and Cornelius Lucas as limited, meaning there's some progress being made for the 2 tackles.
I get the sense that today was a walkthrough as well. So we'll really know more, I think, if they actually ramp it up a little bit here tomorrow.
Yes, but they have to list, because of the Thursday night game, this injury report is based on if you practiced, how would it have gone for those players? Now, obviously, teams can and do lie, I'm sure, but that's what the idea is.
Yes.
Whether it was a walkthrough or not, you have to act like this was your Wednesday practice and list what you think a guy would have been able to do.
Gotcha. So just meaning we don't know if, you know, Marshawn Lattimore could sprint or not, right? Like he didn't do the and nobody really did anything that physical
today
because it was a walkthrough.
What they're saying is if this was a Wednesday practice ahead of a Sunday game today, Lattimore would not have practiced. Is what they're saying.
Yeah.
Which is not ideal. I mean, that's not a good sign.
No, they need him ASAP, you know, with this matchup. But to me, you make the trade for this matchup in mind.
This is a little bit early to have this conversation, but throwing it out there. How long could the hamstring linger before it becomes like a, man, that was a bummer? Because he's controllable for the next couple of seasons.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea when they got him was obviously that he's going to be a huge help. I think as long as they make the playoffs and he plays in the playoffs, then it's a win because you have him for this postseason and the next two, hopefully. But I was kind of thinking it'd be great to have him against the Steelers. My point all along was you don't really need him against Pittsburgh as much as you need him against Philly with their wide receivers, and I still feel that way. But if he misses both of those two games, that is officially a letdown after the trade deadline that you're waiting essentially three games to get him on the field.
Yeah, and now because of the timing. If it was a Sunday game against Philadelphia, would it be different? I don't know. It's not crazy that somebody with a hamstring issue isn't, you know, totally 100% fine to play an NFL football game 72 hours later. You know, like, I get that. That makes sense to me. It's just, you know, it could be bad luck, but I'm with you. It'll feel like kind of a letdown. I mean, to me, if now we're doing the same dance next week after, you know, Thursday Night Football, then a rest, and if we're still doing the limited DNP, you know, we'll see on Friday, then maybe on a walkthrough on Sunday morning, we'll give it a go against Dallas the following week. Now I'm in, what the hell's going on? Bummer territory here, right? You're really deprived of the guy that I think is going to be instrumental in transforming this defense in a couple of divisional games. That'll really feel empty. It's going to be a bummer if you can't play on Thursday, but it's not crazy to me.
G&D on the Fan. What did you make of Jay Gruden saying he thinks that Jaden Daniels is still bothered by the rib injury and that it's affecting play calling and it sounds like to some extent his performance?
I 100% agree. So I wouldn't necessarily call it an excuse or call it a, you know, it's one of those like, okay, well, yeah, well, he's still got this. You could see it on the sideline. They're giving him heat wraps around his ribs. It's not around his ankle. It's not around his thigh. It's not around a different bump or bruise or something that inevitably is going to happen to an NFL player. It's that area. They are doing that. They're giving him treatment during games. There was a Jay referenced it. There was one, it was a keeper, it was a draw or something like that, where he had looked like he had no interest in doing any of the Jaden Daniels NFL football things. We're trying to make someone miss or outrunning somebody. The play got discovered. And there was no mystery. He just, that's it. I'm out. Just went down right away.
Good, by the way.
Oh, I'm not criticizing. I'm just simply saying that was, you know, you'd expect him to either try to take it outside, outrun somebody. He's like, I want out. I want no part of this. Let's live to fight another day, which is maturity and good. But I don't know that he does that if it's not maybe a little bit sensitive or he's favoring it a little bit.
So it goes without saying that there's obviously something that is still ailing or else there would be no treatment, to your point. There'd be no wrapping it. There'd be no taking care of it, which we see visibly on the sideline. So something is a bit amiss. But I stop short of it is affecting his playing and or what they're calling. I disagree with that a little bit. I shouldn't say what they're calling. I'm sure that's the case because they were calling a lot more design runs, and he was just pulling the ball down and scrambling. Maybe it's affecting that part of his game some too, his own decision-making on when to run or not, which I don't have a big problem with.
Me neither.
Now, I do think, and we disagreed on this all offseason and throughout the season so far, I do think he needs to run for him to be at the peak of his powers. I think it makes their running game better. It makes B-Rob and Eckler and everybody else better when there's a threat that he's running. In a game like yesterday where he's not a threat to run, you don't have to respect him, so you basically just key in on Eckler, and that's where those TFLs were coming from on some of those read options. So that's a real thing. I also think that the reason he went number two overall is not because of solely Jaden Daniels the passer. It's because of Jaden Daniels, football player and playmaker, who ran for 88, 44, 47, 82, 50, 52 yards in games so far this season. And so when you get 5 yards from him, a season low against the Steelers, weirdly, you have your worst offensive performance. That all said, he did not look bothered against the Bears, really, which was right after the injury. The whole week led up to that Chicago game. That was you and I out in Manassas. Is he going to play? Isn't he going to play? What's going to happen? Are they going to start Mariota? He went out, and he before the Hail Mary, because he threw for a career-high 326 in that game, 50 of that was on the Hail Mary. You know, that's still a 275-yard performance where he was pretty accurate in that game. He had plenty of zip. You know, yesterday I thought he had a ton of velocity. If anything, my one knock on him as a passer yesterday was too many balls were kind of flat and hot. He didn't throw with the same anticipation or not even that, like touch the same, you know, when he had a guy, he didn't kind of ball placement wasn't there like it normally is for him. Thought his accuracy was a hair off, which, by the way, happens sometimes. You're not going to play every game like an MVP. Jared Goff was number three in MVP candidacy going into last night, got picked off five times. Daniels has two all year. And I know two of those, you could say, as Jay Gruden did, maybe weren't like true terrible passes.
Three were.
But he also had a pass that could have and should have been picked off that wasn't.
Yeah.
So that, I guess, now could have been four bad ones or whatever. So I guess my point is, I think we're working back from the result of the Steelers played him really well, did a lot of things well, and now we're saying, that's why. Did you, during the Giants game, when he was accurate, two touchdowns, no picks, you know, ran, by the way, twice as much for seven times as many yards, did you think he was hurt then? Like, it just started hurting him more yesterday? There's a little truth in both columns. Yeah, he's getting treatment, he's not 100%. But they wouldn't have played him. We're talking about, how many days ago? Two full weeks ago now against the Bears, they'll play him, and now a couple weeks later, they're still calling plays differently. I don't quite think that's true. I think the Steelers had a really good plan and did some really good things against
them. Yeah, I think both are true. I think the Steelers are good. I think they have a good plan. And I think that they use their bye week very well, as they've been wont to do over Mike Tomlin's entire tenure there, where they come out of the bye week with an excellent plan, great execution, and you know, that's a good team for a reason. They don't just sort of sleepwalk into it. I also think he's – limited is not the right word. I think he's affected. And it just – whether it's a burst thing, whether it's stepping into certain things, whether it's when you're injured or you're hurt or you're banged up, whatever it is. And again, you can go back through a billion and one examples. You compensate in certain ways. So maybe you could still throw as hard. Maybe you could still got the velocity, but now maybe you're sacrificing a grain of accuracy because you have to effort a little bit more or kind of work around an injury or something like that. Instead of being able to, I'm just making this up, but let's say it's on your left side. So normally when you step through and follow through, you get a little twinge of pain. So you don't really follow through. You spin off kind of, and then that, you know, the ball sails on you. There's a million different things that can happen. In, you know, you see this in baseball with a pitcher, or see with an infielder. Ryan Zimmerman always comes to mind for this, where the injury wasn't a shoulder. It was something else that led to the shoulder because he was compensating for it. So I do think there's something where he's not 100%. It's now in the manageable NFL injury thing. Like before,
well,
he's
not even on the injury report.
I know.
So it's clearly manageable.
Yeah. So before, you know, my point, when he got hurt against Carolina, my point was this is not the regular bump and bruise that NFL players experience, which, you know, you just deal with and it sucks and it's hard and, you know, you take your pain meds and you do everything you possibly can to get back on the field. This required medical attention, was more severe than that. I now think this is in nagging, bump and bruise, pain in the butt. Right. I have to manage it territory. But to say it's a non-zero factor, I don't agree. I'm not saying you are. But it's more than zero and it's less than the reason why he threw an incomplete pass. There's a scale there.
The Bears game, it barely was a story. It was not really a factor. Nothing about that game looked different at all than the entire season. The Giants game, same thing. This week now we're going, you know, that rib might not be quite right after those other two performances that were a lot better than this one. And by the way, it's not like the guy played badly. If more catches got made on balls that were catchable to his receivers, it's a winning performance against an elite defense, and the team is 8-2 at this point. But by the standard he's set now, watching him week in and week out, of him being MVP caliber and elite, it was not there either. What did you guys think about Jaden Daniels yesterday, and is his rib a factor as he had a rare performance where he was a tick off throwing the football? Grant and Danny on the Fan. G&D on the Fan. Next up, the Philadelphia Eagles will turn the page coming up at 6 o'clock. Also, don't forget about, we're taking you to 6:30. So, what's your grade for Jaden Daniels' outing yesterday?
Similar to the defense. Probably C+, B-, somewhere in there. I could be talked into a B-. I think the day looks a lot different yardage-wise, you know, QBR, ratings-wise. If some of the balls that easily should have been caught are caught, if some of those, hey, playmaker, help me out here, balls are caught, I think it's a very different day in terms of a lot of the production, staying on the field, time of possession, and, you know, ultimately maybe even the score. So it probably wasn't as bad as we're remembering it, looking at some of the numbers and thinking about some of those misses. So, but it also wasn't one of his better days against a really good defense, understandable.
Yeah, instead of 17 of 34, it's 21, 22 of 34. And instead of 200 yards, it's 240. But, like, I don't care about the yards or the even the 50% completion. because I watched the game and the drops were the drops. Like, that's not the story. The story to me was he was either unwilling or unable to get out of the pocket. The Steelers did the thing that all year long has been the fear. What if a team figures out how to just keep him corralled to the pocket and it happened? And they could have won that way. I mean, he was a pocket passer against the Ravens for the most part. If you remember, he ran six times, but it was for like 20 yards.
Six for 22, yeah.
He didn't have a whole lot of success in that game running the ball either, but he just lit them up, 24 of 35 for 270 and two touchdowns. And he can win from the pocket. He's good enough to do that. Needed more help from his receivers yesterday, obviously. That's why he was at 5.9 yards per attempt, essentially, which was one of his lowest totals of the year. But I thought he was off accuracy-wise for the first time. The beauty of Daniels this year is twofold. One, he never turns the ball over and never puts the ball in harm's way. And he did that again yesterday, I thought. I don't remember throws where it was like, oh, that could have been intercepted. There was a batted fluky thing where Watt was
about that one. Right, that's the one.
But that's not, like, that's a batted ball. Right. That's kind of bad luck more than it is, you know, you put the ball in harm's way. So it was another good game in that regard. But the other thing is accuracy and ball placement have been marvelous. And even on some of the catches, even on some of the quote-unquote drops, he didn't necessarily help guys out on some of those with, like, the perfect throw. It's a little wide of the body or it's a little out wide. I mean, there were some terrible drops, like the Ertz drop in the middle of the field.
Mm-hmm.
The De'Ami Brown throw in the end zone. He throws the ball 80 miles an hour. He could have lobbed it to 68 and, you know, right to him in the back of the end zone with no one around. But that's on De'Ami. That's not on Jaden Daniels. Like, catch the damn ball.
Yeah.
You're in the end zone. There's no one around you. You got to catch it. So I just think, and this is a compliment to him, I hope, we have gotten used to a level of play from him that has been top 10 quarterback play in the NFL all season. That was not the level yesterday, in my opinion. The faders were turned down on the running. The faders were turned down a little bit on the accuracy, just not quite as sharp. He was regular okay. I thought it was like a C performance. He also, all of this is just hot air. They should have probably won, and he was good enough to win, yeah. Which on a binary is the whole point, I would
say. Yeah, it's the whole exercise. It's like a starting pitcher. He didn't have his A stuff, but the team, when he left the game, his team was winning, et cetera. I think about it this way. The nine games that he started and finished, Carolina notwithstanding, only, you know, a possession there and a 47 drubbing. But of the nine games he started and finished and played, I think this was the second worst game of the season for him, which shows you just how good he's been, right? Like, the fact that he's been this marvelous as a rookie tells you that this regular old ho-hum performance, again, it's not the three turnover meltdown. It's not sack fumble. It's not they couldn't even get plays off. It's not the offense was a non-starter and he's errant and wide and throwing interceptions and forcing things. None of that's true. I mean, outside of the Tampa game where they're just, you know, spoon feeding at that point, not really putting everything on the plate that would come in subsequent weeks and how much better he was as the season's progressed. You're right about it. The level that he's been at, the standard that he's set, where when you get a ho-hum regular old quarterback game, it's like disappointing almost, which again is a compliment to him.
Yeah, and that's where we are. A normal, pedestrian, okay outing is a disappointment. But when you're playing at an elite level, that's where the bar is, I suppose. There was nothing really wrong. I didn't think there were many bad plays. I will say I thought he missed a couple of things that loomed large. I've mentioned the McCaffrey throw today.
Yep.
You can't underscore that one enough to me. That is a massive moment in the game on a second down from your own end zone. That's a 50-yard
gain. After a penalty, you're backed up.
Easy.
After that turnover,
easy 50-yard gain. Maybe a touchdown. And then the other one was Zacchaeus is running across the field. Ball hits him like he's outstretched to the point where if you reach with both hands, you're not going to be able to touch the ball. But he kind of reached with one and it hit off his hand, and it was just too wide. But that's a catch-and-run play of 20-plus. That is a, with ball placement like he's had all year long, just a normal Daniels throw, that's a big gainer. And instead it was incomplete. But not the story of the day by any means. Just something worth discussing because we talk about him every single week. I mean, he is the face of the franchise. He's got the keys to the kingdom. Don't forget about, let's do that next. Plus, let's turn our attention to the Eagles for the first time. Just about ready to turn the page because of a Thursday tilt. We got a really busy show. This week, we're going to have all kinds of activities and activations ahead of this Thursday night game. We'll give you the deets next on Grant and Danny.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.